Well, good evening, children and parents of children. If this were a 1500 meter race, we are entering the last lap. So let me encourage you to keep running. We're almost there. But this is a good occasion where the Lord Jesus Christ is establishing another outpost in the building of his kingdom. Satan will not prevail. So this is worth celebrating. That's what we're here to do. So let me encourage you in the last little bit here. Also want to say there was no collusion between me and Reverend Doe. I am going to be charging the officers from 2 Chronicles. And so we're going to exercise your ability to find that book. 2 Chronicles, I want to read to you a few verses from 2 Chronicles, the very last chapter, chapter 36. Lowell, Lloyd, Bob, and Robbie, can I find, where is Bob and Robbie so I can look at you when I'm talking to you? There's Bob, and there's Rob. Thank you. Okay. I want to read to you from 2 Chronicles 36, verses 11 through 16, where it says, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they had polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against this people, until there was no remedy. Brothers, you in particular, as I address you, but brothers and sisters, recently I read through the books of Chronicles. I was struck by a number of things. First was the courage of the reforming kings. They were willing to cast away the idolatry of their fathers and to walk in the way of David, their great king. We should take great encouragement from this. Another thing that I was struck by was the remarkable patience of God. The patience of a God who, despite the many, many, many failures of his people, would delay and delay and delay and delay to the very end, it would seem, before then he would unleash his just punishments upon his people. There's another thing that struck me, and this is what I want to form the basis of my charge to you, brothers, is that as you read the books of Chronicles, what you will find is that very few men finish well. Very few. Very few kings ended their days either at the same level of commitment when they began or better. Now tonight, I trust you men have bowed the knee to the great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are therefore servants of the greater Son of David. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I would urge you to maintain that confession and belief that there is none like him. He's the fairest among 10,000. He is the great warrior for his people and the husband for his bride. Insofar as you confess and believe these things, I bless God, and I would urge you to maintain those things. And it's him. He is the basis of what I would charge you with these words tonight. Brothers, you serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. I exhort you tonight and charge you in presence of God and these witnesses to serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. Do not serve him primarily out of your fear of failure or terror at the sight of your own weakness, which you know, but rather because of your love for and confidence in this King. Serve him with a view to finishing well. We read here briefly about Zedekiah, who stood last in the line of kings. These men, in their day, had every imaginable privilege at their disposal. We could use the words of Paul about them, that theirs uniquely was the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. And from them, in particular, as those in the line of David, from them came the Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. He is God over all, blessed forever, as Paul says. And yet, with the possession of these privileges, most of them failed. A few examples. We know Solomon. Solomon, who probably is the greatest example of Christ reigning in glory in the Old Testament. He had his heart turned away from the Lord by the many foreign women. We have Rehoboam, his son, that the chronicler says, when he was established and strong, he turned his heart away from the Lord and would not listen to the law. Asa started well, but eventually he began relying upon men and not God, and therefore turned against the prophets of the Lord. Jehoshaphat, the great reformer, became a puzzling compromiser. For whatever reason, allying with Ahab and Ahaziah, forming ungodly alliances. We even have Uzziah, the great king, 50 years of reign, bringing back the might and glory of Jerusalem, succumbing to pride. And banished from the temple. Why these sobering thoughts for you tonight, brothers? It's because we live in a day where the pressures to conform, to be silent, and to compromise are as intense as they are increasing, and you know it. And it is one thing when members of our churches slide and turn back in the day of battle. And it is quite another when an officer in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ does the same. Brothers, we have a great opportunity in our day. We have a great opportunity to contend earnestly for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints and to see it through for the entire course of our lives. And I ask you tonight, are you willing to serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well? We celebrate tonight, we rejoice tonight, and we should. But will you finish well? Will time put the stamp of approval and faithfulness upon your ministry? Will you finish well? Do you understand that your role in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that demonstrates His inexorable rule in this world right now in history? My brother deacons, Robbie and Bob, you must lead the way in serving, in mercy, in the proactive and vigilant love that the Lord Jesus Christ would display through His church. My fellow elders, Lowell and Lloyd, among other things, God has set you as watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. And He says you are to take no rest. And He says, keep me up at night. Give me no rest until I make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Is it your intention tonight to fulfill your calling of your office with a view to finishing well for the King of Kings? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the gospel's implications. Contend earnestly for the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. As I close, I want to show you just a couple of things and encourage you tonight, exhort you tonight. Why did these men, these kings, fail? What caused them to stumble? What caused them to turn aside and therefore not finish well? Well, what we see is there were the seeds of pride, which led to the resistance of and rejection of the Word of God, which then led to their form of worldliness, which was the worship of idols. We don't bow down to those kinds of idols in our age, do we? But we most certainly feel the pull of worldliness. Brothers, I want to be and I am confident of better things concerning you. And I charge you, therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. Either remain or become small in your own eyes. Love and live under the word of the living God. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Put pride and selfish ambition away from you. Take up your cross. Shepherd, teach, and pray, and rest later. Because this is no game. You hold the banner as officers in the Church of Christ, and we are at war presently, and we shall remain at war until the day Christ comes in the clouds of glory. And I charge you, wage that war unapologetically, unwaveringly, and uncompromisingly, knowing that there is a King in heaven. And he is coming again to judge the world. Two, actually three encouragements for you as I urge you and charge you to serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. First, if you look at verse 15, it says here that the Lord was still the God of their fathers, this God that you must serve, and you will fail in serving from time to time. You must remember that he is a faithful God. He is still the God of our fathers. Remember that. You must also see that this God, secondly, in verse 15, remained compassionate toward his people and his dwelling place. He continued to love them. But brothers, how did he show compassion to his people? He sent them his word. Never, never, never stray from it. Lowell, brother, you know, you never, ever, ever cease ministering the word of God to this congregation. You'll hear it from me if you do. Serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. But one final encouragement for you. And that comes actually from the last verse of this book. As Reverend Doe reminded us earlier, this was the God who could turn Cyrus, the Persian king, to give the decree where he says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him, and let him not go up. Let him ascend to the mountain of God and worship him again in his holy presence. This God remembers." After many years of sorrow and exile, it was the Lord who moved this heart of this king. Why? To bring them to his mountain to worship. Brothers, men often do not end well, but God always finishes what he starts. God always ends well. And so I urge you, do not turn back in the day of battle. Do not compromise. Contend earnestly for that faith once and for all delivered to the saints. This you need to do. This you must do as you look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brothers, serve the King of Kings with a view to finishing well. Amen. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we do ask that you would bless this exhortation with fruit in the hearts of these dear brothers for the good of your church and for the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, greetings from Reformation OPC in Gastonia, where I'm from. It's good to see another Reformation here in Virginia Beach. I actually retired some years ago out of down the road in Fort Monroe as a soldier. Pastor Andrews reminded us at the beginning that we are to rejoice, we are to celebrate. As a point of personal privilege, Mr. Moderator, you did this to me last year. This is my 62nd birthday today, and I cannot think of a better place to be than with the saints as we celebrate the organization of this body into a particular work. Amen. So we're going to pray now for Lowell, Robbie and Bob, in particular to their charge. Let's pray. Father, we have heard your words of warning. We've heard your words of encouragement. We've heard your promises through the ages, reminding us of your faithfulness. May we take them to heart now as we charge and pray now for these men who are to serve you in this body. Father, in particular, we ask for protection of these men, that you would help them each to approve upon their baptisms as they love you and minister to you, to your people by your Spirit. Father, we would ask that you would protect their hearts so indeed they would finish well, that they would always be loving to your sheep, gentle, tender, kind, humble, patient, and full of grace and mercy as you, O God, continue to sanctify them and to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we would ask that they would not think too much of themselves. We'd ask that by your power, your Spirit, you would remind them that they are your servants, that they are to bend their knee and to confess you every moment of their life, and that whatever knowledge that they have of you, whatever gifts and graces that you have given them, that they would be reminded that it is all of you, not of themselves. Father, we ask that you would use their gifts and graces to love your people, but most importantly, to love you, to teach the people of this church how to love you with all their heart and soul. In particular, for our elders, Father, we pray that they would be continually focused on feeding and protecting your sheep with the word, sacrament, and prayer. Father, we ask that you would be loving and kind to them as they demonstrate that loving kindness to the world. That they would focus on your word as they were charged to do, never to leave it. Father, for our deacons, we ask that you give them peacemaking hearts. When they see that the body is in distress, there is someone in need, that they would restore them through mercy ministries. Restore them, not just materially, but restore them to be able to focus again on worship, to take their eyes off themselves and to get their eyes back upon Christ. Father, we also pray for the families, the wives and the children of these men. We ask that you'd give special grace to these families as their husbands, fathers, minister to the body of Christ and sacrifice not only for their families, but for the family here at Reformation. Protect them from the evil one. So, Father, our prayer is as Pastor Myers has prayed. Give them the strength and the power that you and you alone can give by blessing these men to finish well for your glory. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.